Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the SSTL Strategy Update conference call on the 9th of April 2013. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty hearing the presentation, please press the star followed by the zero on your telephone for operator assistance. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that certain statements in this presentation may contain assumptions or forecasts in respect to forthcoming events. The words expect, estimate, intend, will, could, and similar expressions identify forward-looking statements. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events or circumstances occurring after these statements to reflect events and circumstances occurring after the above-mentioned date or to reflect the occurrence of anticipated events. Many factors could cause actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, among others, deteriorating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, operating risks, rapid technology and market change in industries, as well as many other risks. I will now hand the conference over to Evgeny Troikov. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. We can now start the call. Let me introduce the key speakers. Participating today are Mikhail Shamolin, President and CEO of Systema, Всеволод Розанов, President and CEO of SSTL, and myself, Evgeny Troikov, Head of Investor Relations at Systema. You can find a presentation accompanying this call on our website at systema.ru, and I will now hand over to Mikhail for his comments.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us for the SSTL operations and strategy. The past 12 months were a challenging period for SSTL. Like many other Indian telecom players faced with uncertainty over its licenses, the company had to maintain and protect its operations in a difficult environment. At the time, we set ourselves very clear objectives: A, to safeguard operations; B, minimize cash out for new spectrum; and C, reduce reliance on holding level. 12 months on, and I am pleased to report that we have successfully achieved all of the above objectives, and moreover, with the latest auction results, positioned SSTL to take a full advantage of the growing mobile market in India. Before we discuss our strategy, it is important to recall the key details of the auction. We secured technologically neutral licenses at 50% reduced cost, three carriers across all circles, and a mechanism allowing us to offset previous license price. We closed 13 circles and remain in nine regions with the greatest potential, which account for 75% of SSTL revenues, cover 40% of all population, and 60% of data potential. With zero payment required over the next 2 years and the remaining amount split over a 10-year period, this, both operationally and financially, was a win-win outcome. Our participation in the March auctions was not only dictated by financial considerations, but also by our experience of the past and prospects for the future. We have operated in India since 2008, and despite numerous challenges, have achieved significant success. We have seen subscriber numbers grow at double digit, data revenue increasing several fold, and creation of a strong and recognizable brand in MTS India. The lessons from the above were simple. Regulatory difficulties aside, we need to focus on data and leverage an already strong platform to become a number one data operator. Market research has shown that for data customers, there is no actual preference for GSM or CDMA, and that fundamentally subscriber considerations boil down to, you know, simply quality and price. With only 7% internet, 4% broadband, and 6% smartphone penetration, India offers an unrivaled data growth story. A third of SSTL's ARPU is accounted by data revenue, and this number is expected to grow at a solid double-digit rate in short and medium term. As highlighted by the auction results, SSTL is well-placed to capitalize on this further. With technologically neutral licenses and three carrier slots of 3.75 megahertz, the company now has a far-enhanced network able to deliver excellent quality and a clear roadmap to LTE. As some of you may remember, we originally built our network with this in mind, which means our future LTE rollout are minimized both in terms of time and costs. Our network is easily upgradable, with key expenditures being $200 million spread over several years and generating around $100 million of synergies. Moreover, existing ecosystem on 850 megahertz means LTE is already being rolled out on band 5 in several geographies. With these fundamentals in place, we believe we can deliver the best LTE experience in India in the medium term. Our strategy will be to capitalize on tier 2 and 3 cities where customers are increasingly data conscious. 10 out of top 15 and 30 out of top 50 cities are already under our coverage, and with attractive voice and data bundle offers, as well as improved sales and distribution network, SSTL can deliver to the above objectives. Before I turn the call over to Sevala to discuss the operational aspects in more detail, I want to finish by highlighting some of the financial aspects of SSTL's new footprint. In setting out our operational objectives, we have firmly kept in mind our promise to reduce SSTL reliance on the holding level of Sistema. As you can see from slide 13, SSTL debt is due to halve this year to $700 million, with the remaining portion all long and financed at lower cost. Similarly, the cash required by SSTL in 2013 for financing of operations has been significantly reduced to $350 million, including one-time exit costs. Interest expense has fallen sharply thanks to debt repayments, with OIBD loss is expected to rapidly decline. All in all, we are on track to deliver to our main promise of reducing total cash requirements to less than $250 million in the short term and reach Nine Circle OIBD break-even point at the end of 2014 and first half of 2015. With this, I will now turn the call over to Sevala to discuss the operational results and strategy in more detail.
Thank you, Mikhail. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving us the opportunity to discuss our operations and strategy. We have gone through some tough times over the last 12 months, but the doubts and the ambiguity is now over. The uncertainties in the operating environment led us to reevaluate our operations more thoroughly, and we now have a leaner and more fundamentally robust data-focused business in India. Despite the challenges during the last year, we were able to grow our revenues by 31% year-on-year and improve our OIBDA margins by 64 percentage points, which reflects the strong fundamentals of MTS business in the country. As seen in our results, which we published today, we continued to lower OIBDA loss and in the last quarter achieved break-even in our first circle, which is West Bengal. Most importantly, the results demonstrate the strength of our data franchise, which in 2012 brought almost a third of our all revenues. The latter was the key part of our auction strategy in March. Playing to our strength, we selected and secured the highest data potential circle in India, whilst at the same time maintained majority of our subscribers and revenue. 8 out of 9 circles have technological neutrality, and all circles now have 3 carrier slots, substantially improving our network and potentially customer experience. Another key consideration was to remain in circles with early OIBDA break-even. This is the key objective for SSTL in the immediate term, and we believe we can achieve this by the end of 2014 or first half 2015. 6 out of 9 circles should reach OIBDA break-even in mid-2014, whilst the remaining circles are expected to come online several months later. All this will have a significant impact on our financials. We expect OIBDA loss to fall sharply over the next 2 years, while the cash requirement for operations will be reduced to below $250 million in 2014 and even further in 2015. Importantly, the cash required in 2013, namely $356 million, already includes one-time exit costs, and although we cannot reveal them at this stage, we are working on reducing them further. With the aforementioned business model in place, 2013 is building up to be an exciting year. Our focus will be on developing the stronger data franchise, restarting the smartphone business, and harvesting entry-level voice segment. We will now follow tailor-made business strategies for each of the 9 circles to bring the OIBDA break-even at the earliest and also create assets which can be transferable easily to new technologies. We aim to achieve this with the strictest possible cost control. Finally, I'd like to highlight the spirit and efforts of all our employees, which despite the challenges have shown tremendous resilience in this period. Undeterred by difficulties, we continued to effectively execute our plan and strategy and have perfectly positioned the SSTL to serve the fast-growing data segment within the country. Thank you, and I will now hand the call over to Evgeny.
Thank you. We're now ready to take questions.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. The first question comes from Alex Kazbegi from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the call. The first question is about the decreasing debt on the SSTL level. I guess in 2012 the debt was decreased due to the issuance of the preferred shares to Sistema. That was probably one of the ways, again, to get the money into the SSTL. Is the 2013 further debt reduction is going to be taking the same, so to say, route? Is it going to be another issue of the preferred shares, or there is something else here in mind? Second question related probably to the same thing is that this debt reduction is clearly about $350 million worth. The cash requirements coming from Sistema are still about $415. How is that, so to say, reconciled? And how these two numbers, so to say, are reconciled with each other. And maybe you can also give us a more precise number for the CapEx, which you plan for 2013. Thank you very much.
Yes, Alex, this is Mikhail Shamolin speaking. Thank you for your question. Yes, we are planning to further reduce the debt in SSTL and transfer this debt to Sistema. Essentially, it's the same debt. I mean, all the SSTL debt is fully guaranteed by Sistema, so SSTL debt equals Sistema debt. And the only thing we're doing, we're optimizing the cost of this debt, because by transferring it onto Sistema, we are significantly lowering down the interest rates, given that interest rates in India are pretty high. And the only debt we're planning to leave on SSTL is the debt, which is the vendor debt, which is supplied under the export agency contract at very favorable conditions at 2 or 3% annual interest. Everything else will be transferred onto Sistema and turned into a Sistema debt using this vehicle of preferred shares. As far as the CapEx is concerned, I mean, there is really no significant CapEx in 2013, only small maintenance amounts. I can't remember the number, but very small. Mainly it's covering operational needs of the business, plus there is an amount that is required to close down the circles that we're exiting, those 13 circles, you know, some employee payments, some vendor payments, and so on and so forth. Now, we don't really disclose the exact breakdown, but it's all inside the $350 million number that we announced.
Okay. And in terms of the additional cash requirement from the holding company, because, of course, the debt reduction is basically just an accounting, so to say, measure. I mean, you move up the debt from SSTL to the Sistema level, but there is an actual cash burn which you need to actually provide some additional cash, which you indicated $415 million.
Yeah, the difference between 350 and 415 is interest expense and finance interest expense mainly.
But that's on top of this 59, which is indicated there.
This is not on top of the 59, no. This is 350 does not include the cost of debt.
No, I see. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead. Igor Semenov from Deutsche Bank, your line is now open.
Oh, yes. Hi. Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry. I just wanted to check on the same thing. So just to recap, the 415 million required from Sistema, this includes the transfer of the debt by issuing more preferred shares. This also includes the cash burn from operations, so that to cover the negative EBITDA. And the interest, is this all included in the 415?
Yeah. The 350 number includes operational expenses and closing costs. 415, on top of the operational expenses and closing costs, includes interest payments on the debt, which is related to India. So basically, the 65 million number is the interest payments on the debt. That's it.
Okay. And then there's this star at the bottom with small font, excluding possible LTE investments. Can you outline, have you done any studies on LTE, whether it's going to be possible to roll out LTE with limited amount of spectrum you have, and also, you know, how much it might cost? And also, if you're planning to acquire more spectrum later on, what would be the price for that, for those acquisitions of spectrum? Thank you.
Yeah, we're not planning to invest any money in LTE this year. Therefore, we don't have any numbers on that included in the budget. And our cost strategy, if we put it very simply, we need to first bring this company into green. We need to make it profitable, at least on the EBITDA basis. And once we do that, we'll have a number of options on our hands. We would not want to do any significant investment in this business until we bring it to a break-even point.
Okay, I mean, it's just LTE all over the presentation, but you're not making any investments into LTE.
I mean, there is an idea that, of course, the future is not with the CDMA, but with LTE, but at the same time, we believe that with the 6% internet penetration in India and CDMA being a great technology for broadband internet, mobile internet, and with such a hunger of people for this service, we don't really need LTE to make a business break-even. And, you know, we really want to bring it to profitability before we start talking about additional capex.
Okay. And can you give us maybe a revenue guidance for this year?
We don't have the revenue guidance in this presentation, so I wouldn't give you a specific number. Just the cash burn.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anton Fedotov from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for your presentation. I have two questions. My first question, what long-term margins do you target in India after you achieve the break-even level? And my second question is, what will be the exact cost savings on the interest costs, or maybe you can provide the difference in the interest rates after you transfer part of the debt from SSTL to Sistema. Thank you.
Savings on the interest rate are on average sort of 6 to 7%. The average interest rate in India is 14 to 15%. The average Sistema cost of debt is around 8 to 9%. So that's the kind of a difference we're talking about. As far as long-term margins are concerned, I think it's quite difficult to be talking about this seriously at this point, because it is really a question of how the Indian market is going to evolve over time. We do see that there is a huge hunger for data in India. We see a scarcity of spectrum, and we do see a path how to make a company break even and start generating plus and not minus. Once we get there, I think we'll have a lot of options in our hands, and then we'll be deciding, what will be our strategy going further. Do we want to sell the business and monetize at least part of the investments that we make? Do we want to further develop it, depending on the market conditions? Do we want to turn it into a full LTE player? Do we want to buy additional carrier? Do we want to partner up with someone? Do we want to exchange this business for a participation in someone else's business? So lots of options open up once we make the business operationally profitable, and this is the main objective right now.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Alex Balakhnin from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I had two questions. First is on your EBITDA break-even guidance. Could you probably explain how do you plan to achieve it? Will it be mostly through the revenue growth with the more or less stable cost base, or do you probably see some scope for the cost cutting? And can you probably also give us a sense of the structure of your cost base now? I mean, how many costs are spent now on the probably handset subsidies and things like that? I'm just trying to get a sense of where you could cut to achieve your break-even level. And second question is probably more general one. Can you talk a little bit about the loyalty of your customers on a data-only product? Because there are some evidences that the data customers may be less loyal than all-in customers. Do you see any confirmation of that in India, at least on your subscriber base? Thank you.
The story actually is extremely simple, and the story is that the quality of mobile services in India is crap, is very bad, right? So the reason the quality is so bad is because the spectrum is very scarce, the bands of spectrum are very narrow that the existing players have, and the demand is very high, so networks get clogged up very quickly. And you basically don't have players who offer decent quality services in India. Therefore, a competitive advantage that we will have as SSTL with the three carriers is the highest quality data service that we can offer that will be better than anyone else's. And that's actually what people want. They just basically want your network to work. Once you can deliver a network that works, and on three carriers, which is different from one carrier or two carriers that we had in the past. With the three carriers concentrated in nine circles, we believe we will be able to offer a good quality data service. And, of course, we'll continue to do the voice service, but the main focus will be on data. And the customer loyalty actually goes exactly with the kind of data quality we can deliver. If we can deliver quality and if we can deliver decent price, will have customer loyalty because people don't really care whether they receive a good data transmission with the CDMA technology or GSM technology. It doesn't really matter. GSM matters when you have a choice of handsets and the subsidies on those handsets and, changing operators with one handset in GSM. That's when it makes a difference. In data, when you buy a dongle and, you use this dongle at a decent price, to satisfy your internet needs, there is no need for you as a customer to be running around changing operators. And that's actually what we see happening in India. And because of the concentration that we are now pursuing, moving from 22 circles to 9 circles and taking equipment from those 13 circles that we are exiting and installing more coverage and more capacity in the existing 9 circles without investing extra capex, now, we believe we can create a superior product which will be competitive on the market. And so the main, to answer your question about how we're going to break even, the main push towards the break even is not with the cost reduction but with the revenue increase. Of course, there will be a cost reduction as well, I mean, driven first of all by the reduction of the headquarter personnel and administrative costs because we are moving from managing 22 circles into 9 circles. We are liquidating the layer of macro regions in those circles, and we will be streaming down on the top management, cost as well because it's a small operation. Of course, we will not achieve huge cost savings with regards to to subscriber acquisition costs per subscriber, because, you know, we may even have to incentivize dealers even more. But on balance, I think we now have a much better chance and much clearer way to pursue profitability than we had with the 22 circles. And of course, you know, this period of uncertainty over 2012 didn't help, because you know, no one could tell what was going to happen, including the customers.
Thank you. And just wanted to ask you whether you can provide a breakdown of costs, probably just roughly in percentage of your total expense. No.
Okay. I don't. Yeah, we don't disclose this information.
Thank you. The next question comes from Anna Kurbatova from BCS. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much again for the call. My first question is about the principles, let's say, of your selection. Why you selected this region? Could you elaborate a bit? Where do you see, let's say, better quality of the region that remained in your portfolio compared to the previous coverage? So what was the key points? Larger urban population, better per capita income. So what do you basically expect from this remaining eight or nine circles? Also, the question here is also about competitive environment, because I see in the presentation in the table that every of these circles has from seven to nine market players. So it seems a lot of competition. So how would you describe in general the paying power of the population in this region and the competitive environment? So what's your what are the basics of your new growth strategy?
Right. Thank you, Anna. I think the key criteria are reflected on the slides 6 and 7 of the presentation. Let me very quickly go through them. I think they can be grouped under three key groups. First of all, this is the data potential. Given that the whole focus of the strategy and actually experience of successful execution is with the data products, we believe, first of all, the selection of the circles was based on the potential data potential of the market. So finally, while we selected the circles with the 40% of population of the country, it provides accounts for more than 60% of the future data business potential. Second point related to the spectrum, availability and price. We have to see that there is a clear path towards four careers, ideally contiguous in the circles where we participate. And second, it was also it had to be for the reasonable price. So price has to be justified. Of course, there are a couple of exceptions. In Delhi, which is extremely important and actually the biggest data market in the country, there is no four careers. But we made a decision that we can go for the exception and go for the three careers. Same as about Kolkata, which is integral part of the West Bengal circle, but doesn't have four careers. Third most important point was the preservation of the already achieved results. And you can see on the table of the slide 7 that there is a clear reflection that those nine circles represent 75% of the existing business, 75% of the revenue. So it was important for us while to see the perspective of moving to LTE in the long run. In the middle and the short term, we will be able to move to the positive OEBD, because of course when we speak about LTE, as Mikhail mentioned, we are speaking about 2 to 5 years from now. Immediately we have to achieve positive OEBD, and that of course the existing scale and existing circles play a significant role in that. So that I would say three key factors.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Very, very helpful. And the second question is about your EBITDA performance or trends behind this performance in 2013. As far as I understood, your scaled back costs very sharply in Last year, because you have you had no say yes the idea of on the future. So basically, what we should expect now that you cut more 13 more circles, which would be clear savings on the EBITDA. But in the remaining service, as far as I understand, you would restart your operations, and should it go in these circles again to lower OIBDA or not? So what be the trends behind EBITDA this year? Thank you.
Yeah, it's also very simple. Certain circles were closed down, so we cut all the costs, and we have one-off expense with the closure costs, you know, payment to personnel, leaving the company plus some vendors that we have some debts and some obligations with. So and that study will be over with in 2013. No more payments going further. On the remaining nine circles, there will be a reduction, significant reduction in administrative costs, headquarter costs, because you know we will, as I said, restructure the headquarters. And all the variable costs will be tied to customer acquisitions and the data strategy. If we acquire more customers than we have in the plan, that we'll have, then we'll have more customer acquisition costs. If we acquire them according to plan, there will be no increase in the budget. But overall, the EBITDA in 2013 should be better than EBITDA in 2012. Clearly.
So. Thank you.
Okay. On the competitive environment, now, I should say, is a little bit milder than it was in 2012, but still the competition, especially on the acquisition front, is quite stiff. So, yes, there is a very serious, prospect of the potential and gradual increase of the RPM or APPM in the country, but at this stage, given that competition, as you properly mentioned, is between 7 and 8 operators in each circle, unlikely, at least from our estimation, there would be significant increase of the price per minute or price per MB. Though some steps are already taken at the market, operators are withdrawing freebies, decreasing the talk time availability. So from that perspective, certain percentage, 5 to 7%, is probably realistic to expect, but not significant strengthening of the price problem.
I appreciate very much your answers. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Zoltan Palfi from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, very good afternoon, gentlemen. Two questions from me, please. Firstly, can you tell us what was the underlying EBITDA in 2012 on all those nine circles that you remained in, just to use it as a base number for 2013 comparison? And secondly, can you tell us the underlying ARPU and subscriber assumptions behind your EBITDA break-even target? Can you elaborate on how many subs you think you need to gather and what sort of ARPU they need to generate in order to get you to EBITDA break-even by the end of 2014, please?
The point in the following way. We don't go in depth of the assumptions decomposure, but I can clearly say that circles which we are closing, which generate 25% of the revenue, were contributing more than 40% of our OIBDA loss. So in a way, we will in Q1 we will provide separate analysis of the circles to continue and circles which we close. But in the Q4 we didn't go for in this direction. Speaking about ARPU and subs, I would say that in voice we expect certain very mild increase of ARPU given that the ARPU in the circles where we continue is anyway stronger and. There are certain products which we are aiming to launch in the nearest term, but there is, I would say, very conservative assumptions on the few percentage points. Speaking about data ARPU, as you know, MTS is the founder of the prepaid segment in the market, and the prepaid customers naturally give slightly less ARPU, smaller ARPU than the postpaid. And at this stage, we are gradually increasing share of the postpaid acquisition in our portfolio, And we expect, again, mild, but say very low double-digit growth of the ARPU in the data products in the next 2 years, which from our perspective should improve our chances to get to the positive EBD. One important point which was raised earlier is the loyalty. And the last 12 months clearly proved to us that the customers are with us. Yes, we significantly changed the way we are working with retail and distribution, but in reality, the fact that our revenue in Q4 only declined by 3% compared to Q3 represents the fact that the customers are fairly loyal. And going forward, the focus will be not only on the acquisition, because we will have to play within the budget, as Mikhail said, in terms of SAC, but significantly improved loyalty and retention schemes, which we already see as working during this, and saw as working during this crisis times, basically.
Okay, thank you. I think I got most of it. Can you just confirm one more time then the loss-making circles that you shot accounted for roughly 30% of the EBITDA loss in 2012? And also, can you just give a semi-concrete subscriber figure then that you think that you will need to have to reach EBITDA break-even?
So in terms of the losses, it is more than 40
percent.
And as for the customer data, that we do not guide at this stage.
Okay.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Alex Kazbeki from Renaissance Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I think I'm still confused a bit about the CapEx expectations for this year and maybe for the next year, because as far as I understand, the LTE, although might be costing $200 million, is definitely not in the budget for this year and maybe not even for the next one. I think you mentioned somewhere in the presentation that you need to upgrade the distribution network as well. And presumably, again, if you will be still both migrating subscribers from prepaid to postpaid or even, so to say, building up a bigger subscriber base, you would need some additional capital expenditure. Could you give us at least some rough number what you are still looking for, 2013 and maybe 2014? And just also to clarify on the ARPU side, if you look at your ARPU, basically you derive about 36% of your ARPU from data. Let's say in the Indian market is about 15%. But if you put the absolute numbers together, then let's say taking Vodafone numbers for the year, roughly 27, 28 rupees is the ARPU from data for both carriers, for yourself and for, let's say, Vodafone. So the big difference, of course, is the voice, which you said you're not going to be increasing then. Do you expect then your data ARPU to grow ahead of what the others data ARPU might be growing, or do you think you will be just growing it with the market?
Okay. Yeah, Alex, on CapEx, CapEx in 2013-2014 so far is planned to be less than sort of 20 million. So we're not talking about any significant CapEx at all.
Altogether. Okay.
And the strategy is reach break-even without more CapEx and then decide on the CapEx, LTE and else. The only CapEx we will have in those 2 years is the maintenance CapEx and CapEx required to install some new capacity from the existing existing pool of equipment that we already have. So no more CapEx until we come to a clear, path of profitability. That's number one. Number two, data ARPU, I think one needs to, dig in more detail to understand what are we talking about. The ARPU on a particular dongle that we sell on average is several times higher than the voice custom ARPU. It used to be, I think, $10 per dongle. Now it's about $5 or $6 per dongle, and the voice ARPU is still on average around $1.50 to $2. So basically we're talking two or three times more ARPU on a data dongle than on the voice. And we're planning to make our business exactly on those dongles because there is a shortage of them in the market, and you can basically sell quite a lot of them as long as you go and sell them. Now, that does not mean that we would not be pursuing the voice as well. All I'm saying is that voice is not going to be a priority, and the push is going to be more on data than on voice for a very simple reason. To sell voice, you need to subsidize handsets. Subsidizing handsets is very expensive in CDMA. Thus, you know, voice will be pursuing on a limited basis, you know, in a particular segment. Like there are small business customers that require, you know, standardized low-cost phones which don't have to be subsidized. Those kinds of opportunities exist. I mean, we should remember that even nine circles that we cover, about 500 million people live in those circles. So it's still a huge, huge customer base. I mean, it's not kind of a small time operation. And we really are talking about redefining our sales and marketing strategy in voice to minimize the cost of acquisitions and maximize the voice revenue with the major push on data, because that's where we see we can have a competitive advantage, having three carrier, better network, better coverage, better penetration in buildings with the 850 megahertz spectrum, which again is better than GSM 3G 1800 that or 2.1 rather that people have.
Okay, it's all clear. Can I just follow up then, just to ask then, again, if you do have an advantage, if you don't invest over the next 2 years, do you think that you will sustain that advantage?
I think we need to bring the company again into profitability. Once we do that, we'll have lots of options. Because right now, for us as Sistema, to invest in this business, just as for every other investor, it's a question of, you know, whether we will get the money that we invest back. And at which point in time, with which kind of profitability. I'm not talking about the money that's been invested so far. I mean, that's kind of, you know, a different question. But starting from today, starting from, let's say, rebirth of the business once the new licenses have been issued and we went through the auction, you know, the question of return comes very clearly. And if we do invest CapEx, we need to be absolutely sure that we can get payback on this CapEx. And LTE, you know, is a sensible strategy. We can actually convert our network from CDMA into LTE relatively quickly. Let's say in 6 months we can have a functioning LTE network. It's not a question of time, and it's not a question of, you know, us being behind on sort of the LTE or on the LTE wave that somehow would override us in India. That's not a question. It's a question of, you know, once we believe we're steady on the path to build a profitable business, once we break even on the EBITDA, yeah, we can, you know, decide that we invest new money in India, because at least we'll have the proof, and we believe that we can, you know, get there without additional investment.
Okay, very clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. The next question comes from Polina Ugrimova from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Can you please give us a rough estimate of your churn level in voice subscriber base and in your data subscriber base?
Well, thank you very much for your question. One thing we can say that the churn level in CDMA business is times less than in the GSM business, approximately three times less. So clearly, especially as we significantly decreased the investment these days in the gross ads and increased our focus in retention of the customers and retention of the revenues, actually, even. At this stage, we can say that we are comfortable, especially the new subscriber recognition policy, which was introduced later last year, also helped that. We now see up to the 90% of the customers remaining with us at the fourth month of acquisition, which is unheard of for GSM in India. So the exact details, again, they are proprietary and we are not disclosing, but in principle we are, say, comfortable with this level and we see room for improvement.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from Anton Fedotov from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Can you please repeat the number for the maintenance capex? Did you say $20 or $30 million for 1 year?
I said 20, less than 20.
Per year.
Well, it's we don't have the exact number for 2014, but it will not be above that number. It may be 20 for 2 years. We haven't decided yet.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question from Anna Kurbatova from BCS. Please go ahead.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Could you clarify the statement about from Sistema perspective about your strategic view on SSPL, your investment? I wonder what's the, let's say, worst-case scenario for you in India. So the numbers, let's say the cash commitment that you disclosed today, it is, let's say, about close to $1 billion for next 3 years and with the goal to achieve break-even. But if you fail, you will do in that case? What's your worst-case scenario in India?
First of all, we never said that our cash commitment is $1 billion over the next 2 years. We said the number is 415 this year, including the cost of debt. We didn't disclose the number for next year, but it will be significantly less than that because it will not include the closure costs because that's a one-off cost. The EBITDA next year is already going to be much higher than this year, and we're planning to reach break-even by the end of next year. And the cost of debt is going to be minimized as well. So we're not talking about $1 billion for sure, significantly less than this number, much close to $500 million actually. And as far as Sistema strategy is concerned, we are pretty confident we can build an EBITDA break-even business, even a cash flow break-even business. Once we have that, I think we'll have a very good asset on our hand, which we can use in various other scenarios, starting from direct sell of this business to one of the existing players in the market, because you know once we have a company with positive OIBDA, a good set of frequencies, customers, and operations, I mean that's an attractive M&A opportunity for anyone in the Indian market, which is going through a consolidation phase and will continue to be in a consolidation phase over the next couple of years because it's pretty clear that some of the leaders are emerging and some of the players will be ceasing to exist. And a number of other cases, including the organic growth, will be on the table once we get there. So that's pretty much the strategy. And, you know, the only other alternative to spending this money now would be to an immediate close down of business through bankruptcy, which is not a scenario that is being considered right now. Because if we choose to close the business not through bankruptcy but through a gradual phase out, then the cost is going to be no less for sure, and probably more.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And of course, the bankruptcy is a pretty aggressive scenario, which will have implications onto Sistema as a whole, because that will involve Russian government position, relationships between Russia and India, because we would have to essentially exit the market and not pay to people, not pay to vendors, not pay, basically kind of a very rough scenario.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I would now like to hand the conference back to Evgeny Choykov. Please go ahead.
Thank you. We can now finish this call. Thank you, everyone, for dialing in. Have a good day.
Thank you. This concludes the SSTL Strategy Update conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.